and Graham Lotz.
What you believe directly affects how you behave and the decisions that you make. Character counts because it's through your character that you glorify God.
Welcome to today's edition of Living in the Light and today's message from Bible teacher Ann Graham Lotz, teaching from Daniel chapter 1, and gives practical encouragement from the life of Daniel. In a world that says, if it works, it must be right, Daniel's life proves otherwise.
Daniel, I believe in his life, reveals character counts. And today we're hearing from many different quarters that character does not count, that the only thing that counts is your performance and your job. In other words, if you can lie, get away with it, and achieve your goal through lying, then go ahead. And if you can cheat and get away with it and achieve your goal through cheating, go ahead. The whole premise today is if it works, it must be right. And whatever works is okay. And character is not a primary consideration any longer. And Daniel teaches us by his own example that character counts. So before we have the message, would you just pray with me, please? Father, we bow before you and we do praise and worship you as the God of Daniel, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God who is faithful to Daniel as a young man living in Babylon, stripped of everything, including his own family and friends and country, and yet maintaining his walk with you, the same Daniel that ended up as an old man in a lion's den. You were faithful to him. You'll be faithful to us. Lord, we just worship you as the eternal living God, and we ask that you would deeply impress on our hearts the privilege as well as the responsibility of living lives that glorify you through our characters, that our characters may not count to anyone else, but they count to you, and therefore they count. We pray that in the midst of a world increasingly becoming like Babylon, that we might stand up and stand out as we glorify you through our lives. And so we ask now that you would bless us as we consider your word together. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that we might hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for the blessing we're going to receive, because we're asking in Jesus' name, and it's for his sake we pray. Amen. I was in India several years ago, and I was told a story that was related to me as a true story. And it was told about a time when India's provinces were more like kingdoms. And each kingdom was ruled by a king called a Maharaja. And in this one particular province that was really a kingdom, the son of the Maharaja, the crown prince, was a very charming man, very handsome, very charismatic in his personality, and he was greatly beloved by the people, very popular. And one day a Christian missionary came to this province and proclaimed the gospel. And the young crown prince heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he responded by confessing his sin, repenting, inviting Christ into his life as his Savior, and surrendering his life to him as Lord. He became a Christian. He forsook his Hindu religion and embraced Christ. And the province primarily was Hindu, and yet he was so popular with the people that they allowed him this conversion, and he maintained his popularity. The people just loved him. Outgoing, handsome, just a wonderful young man. And then the day came when his father, the Maharaja, died. And as the whole country went into mourning, the counselors of his father came to the young crown prince and they said, Your Highness, we want to go over with you the coronation ceremony. And they began to describe a three-day ceremony that involved many pagan rituals and traditions. And the young crown prince turned to the counselors and he said, You know, I've become a Christian. I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore I do not feel that I can participate in these pagan rituals and ceremonies. And the counselors said, But you must, because this is the coronation ceremony, and if we're to crown you king, you must submit to these rituals and ceremonies. They're part of the process. And the young crown prince said, I'm sorry, I cannot participate. So the counselors went away, and they worked all night. They came back the next day, and they said, Your Highness, you're so popular with the people, everyone wants to see you crowned king. And so we've gotten together, and we have condensed the 3 days of ceremonies down to one day. If you could just participate for one day, we can crown you king. And the young crown prince said, I'm sorry, I cannot participate even for one day. So the counselors went away, and they worked all night. They came back the next day, and they said, Your Highness, Everyone wants to see you crowned king, and so we've taken the 3 days of ceremonies and we've condensed them into 6 hours. If you could just participate for 6 hours, we can crown you king. And the young crown prince said, I'm sorry, I cannot participate even for 6 hours. So the counselors went away, and they were getting a little irritated and frustrated. They worked all night. They came back the next day tired and haggard looking, and they said, Your Highness, because you're so popular and everybody wants to see you become king, we have taken the 3 days of ceremonies and condensed them into 1 hour. If you could just participate for 1 hour, we can crown you king. And the young crown prince said, I'm sorry, I cannot participate. And the counselor said, You don't understand. We can't go off and come back and offer you a better deal. This is the best we can do. We have condensed 3 days of coronation ceremonies into 1 hour, and this 1 hour is absolutely essential. You must go through the 1 hour of ceremonies, or we cannot crown you king. Cannot you forget your Christ for just 1 hour? And the young crown prince stood up, and his black eyes were flashing, and he said, No, you don't understand. What do you think my Christ is? Do you think he's like my coat, and I can put him on and I can take him off at will? I cannot forget my Christ for 3 days. I cannot forget him for 1 day. I cannot forget him for 6 hours. I cannot forget him for 1 hour. I cannot forget him for 1 moment. When I put on Christ, I put him on forever. And the young prince was never crowned king. You see, what you believe directly affects how you behave and the decisions that you make. Character counts because it's through your character that you glorify God. And I don't believe there's anyone in the Old Testament that exemplifies this better than the prophet Daniel. And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 1 and consider the fact that character counts as you walk. And by walking, I mean just your day-to-day, moment-by-moment, everyday living. And Daniel walked or lived moment-by-moment in a changing world. And we see his world was changing politically in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And right there we see Daniel's world changing politically, and I won't go into the background, but it's obvious to see that one administration was leaving and another administration was coming in. The king of Israel had been deposed, and now the king of Babylon was going to sit on that throne or be in authority. And so the government was changing. There was political change in Daniel's world. And as we consider our world today, what political change could you pinpoint? So in other words, Nebuchadnezzar took the articles from the temple in Jerusalem and took them to his temple in Babylon, so that the Jews now, who worshipped in Jerusalem, when they went there, somehow their religion seemed less. It seemed superficial. It wasn't as meaningful as it had been for their parents. It didn't seem relevant anymore for their lives. And the Babylonians, when they went to their temple and they had their idols and they had these articles from the temple in Jerusalem that were dedicated to the one true living God, they had a mixture of truth and error. Time magazine had a cover story on the generation that forgot God. It was about the baby boomers. And they said the baby boomers had pretty much been raised in the church, and then as adults, they had forsaken the church by the thousands because the church didn't seem to be relevant. It seemed to be hollow. It was superficial. It didn't seem to be meaningful in their lives as adults. And then it said, in the last few years, the baby boomers by the thousands, in fact, something like 70 to 80% of baby boomers are going back to church, and over 90% of the baby boomers say they believe in God. They also believe in astrology and horoscopes, and the God they worship is not the almighty deity of the Bible, but a God within themselves and in crystals and rocks and spotted owls. And in other words, they have a mixture of truth and error. So our world is changing religiously, as was Daniel's. And Daniel's world was also changing personally. In verse 3, it says, The king ordered, this is Nebuchadnezzar, ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. And so we see Daniel's world changing personally in that he was one of those young men. Commentators believe there were about 200 of them, and Nebuchadnezzar just skimmed the cream right off of Israel and took the finest young men And he was going to train them, and they would enter his service. They would become his doctors and his lawyers and his professionals. They would be his slaves, but they would also serve him in his kingdom. And Daniel was one of these young men. So when it says they were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, right there we know that Daniel was separated from his family and from his friends, from his country, from everything that was familiar to him. And not only separated from that which was familiar and his friends and his family, but now he's surrounded by secular society. No one worshiped the one true living God in Babylon. Everybody had their own gods. And so he lived in a pluralistic society. And not only was he surrounded by a secular society, he was stripped of his liberty. It says in verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar was to teach the language and literature of the Babylonians, and then the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from his table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they would enter the king's service. They had no freedom to choose their course of study, no freedom to choose their job. They were stripped of any liberty they might have had, and then Daniel was stripped of his identity. In verse 6, his name was Daniel. In verse 7, he was given a new name called Belteshazzar. And so when he was stripped of his identity in Babylon, no one knew that Daniel was raised in a godly home. No one knew if he went to church or not. No one knew if he got drunk on Saturday night or not. When he went to Babylon, it was like no one knew who he was. His whole identity was changed. He could have been anything, done anything he chose. No one knew the kind of family he came from or anything about him. And so we see Daniel's world changing personally. In what way is your world changing personally? Have you been separated in some way from family and friends, perhaps through divorce, through death? Have you recently had a move into a new neighborhood or new community or a new church home or moved into a different job? And you've been separated from that which was familiar, and now you're in unfamiliar territory. And not only that, I know you and I are surrounded by a secular, pluralistic society. Increasingly, in the nation of America, founded upon faith in God, everyone now has their own gods, and very different from the one true living God. And fewer people, it's a minority in this nation, who really know the one true living God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel. And we're living in a secular, pluralistic society. And not only that, have you been stripped perhaps of your liberty in some way? Have you had to go back to work because of a financial situation? Had to go back to school? Have you been confined to an elderly home looking after your parents, or confined in some way in a hospital bed, or because of ill health? You've just been stripped of your liberty. And have you been stripped of your identity in some way? Talking to the young girl at my table who's hoping to get married, and she doesn't know when she gets married, her name will change, and she's going to enter the king's service. And sometimes when maybe somebody here has recently been married and you understand that you can lose something of your identity and your liberty. Maybe there's some other way that you feel that you've lost your identity. Maybe just moving into a whole new setting where people don't know you. When you go off to school, if you go into school or you go off to a new job, no one knows if you call yourself a Christian. No one knows the kind of family you've come from. You just, what you see is what you get. And Daniel's world was changing politically, religiously, and personally. Now, this is the point that I want to make. I believe your world is changing. Would you agree? Religiously, politically, personally? What I want to ask you is this. In a changing world, how much has your character changed? How much are you changing with the changing world? And we look around us, and I don't mean, do you now use a computer? Do you now pump your own gas? I mean, how much are your values changing? And the things that you believe in your character. Daniel, in a changing world, was true to his convictions. His character didn't change. And we see him making this choice in verse 8 when it says, but in the midst of this changing world, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And briefly, the royal food and wine had been offered to idols. To participate, he felt, would be to participate in idolatry. But I want to pick up on the word defile, because in the Old Testament, when something was defiled, it was not acceptable to God. So when Daniel is choosing not to defile himself, he's choosing to live his life to please God. Choosing to live his life so that his life is acceptable to God. Choosing to live his life putting God first. Have you ever made a decision like that? When have you resolved in the midst of a changing world to put God first, resolving not to defile yourself. You know something, in a changing world, if you don't make a choice like that, you're going to change. You're going to look back a year from now, 2 years from now, and see that you're now watching things on TV that a year ago you wouldn't have dared watch. And you're reading magazines that before you would have canceled the subscription if they came through the door with that article. And you're going to movies that you wouldn't allow your children or anybody else to see. Now you're watching them. You listen to language that before you would have gotten up and left the room. Now it just surrounds you and you don't think twice about it. You see, you're going to change and your character will change. Your values will change if you don't make the choice to put God first. And Daniel, living in the midst of Babylon, resolved not to defile himself. That was a deliberate, conscious choice that Daniel made. And once he made the choice, he had to keep the commitment. You know, it's one thing to make a decision, it's another thing to live it out. And Daniel kept the commitment, overcoming peer pressure. And I'm going to use my imagination for a moment. But I see Daniel overcoming peer pressure, and I'm not really thinking of the other Babylonians, even the Babylonians his age, because we don't expect Babylonians to live any differently than Babylonians, right? And we look at the world, and that's really not lots of pressure when the world does things that are not pleasing to God, because we don't expect the world to live a life pleasing to God. So that really, for me anyway, I don't feel the pressure of the world in that sense, because I know I'm separated from the world, and I don't live like the world, I don't walk like the world, and so when they behave and act and talk like the way they do, that's not so much pressure on me. I know I'm called to be peculiar and different. But I believe the peer pressure Daniel was subjected to was that which came from the other young men who were brought from Jerusalem. Because if there were 200 of them, and only Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made this decision not to defile themselves, where were the other 196? And the other 196, they had been raised in Jerusalem. They had been raised in the temple. They had been raised to love and to worship and to serve God. Where were they in this decision? I can tell you where they were. Lounging around the dorm saying, Daniel, you've got to be kidding. You know, when we're in Babylon, we have to do like the Babylonians do. And Daniel, you do want to win these people to Christ, don't you? And how can you win them to Christ if you offend them by not eating what they eat and drinking what they drink? And Daniel, God understands. He looks on the heart. And he knows that we're in Babylon and we have to eat and we have to drink. And Daniel, don't be so legalistic. You don't have to live by the letter of the law. It's just the spirit that counts. And God knows we worship him. And that's peer pressure. When people who call themselves by God's name, when people who call themselves Christians, when people within your own church family are pressuring you to live like the world, eat what they eat, drink what they drink, dress like they dress, go where they go, do what they do, talk like they talk, and just give in, compromise, change with a changing world, that's peer pressure. Now, who is it that calls themselves a Christian? Maybe it's a member of your own church who's been trying to get you to compromise on a point of conviction. Someone who's been trying to push you farther along into the world to change your values and your convictions with the world around you. When you make the choice, you have to keep the commitment, overcoming the peer pressure. Daniel did. And then he overcame what I'm going to describe as fear pressure, because he went to the chief official and he told them, ask for permission not to defile himself. He said, I want to put God first in my life. I can't eat this food and drink this wine. And it says, the chief official in verse 10 told Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Let me tell you about the chief official's Lord and king, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the emperor, the king of Babylon. Babylon, according to the scripture, was very probably the greatest empire the world has ever seen. It was the head of gold on that statue of the world empires. And Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king that Babylon had ever known. He ruled 43 years. He never had a military defeat. He was a brilliant administrator, absolutely ruthless. And he went over and conquered Jerusalem and Judah and made her sort of a province of Babylon, and he allowed the king of Judah to remain on the throne in Jerusalem as a provincial governor ruling under himself. The king's name in Jerusalem was Zedekiah. So everything was fine. Nebuchadnezzar went back home until Zedekiah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He decided he didn't want to pay taxes anymore. And he thought he was such a small kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar would let him get by with it because Nebuchadnezzar was 800 miles away. And so Zedekiah rebelled. You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He marched 800 miles. He seized Zedekiah. He bound him to a post. He brought Zedekiah's sons in front of him. With Zedekiah watching, he butchered Zedekiah's sons and then put out Zedekiah's eyes. So the last thing Zedekiah ever remembered seeing was his own sons slaughtered in front of him. And you're going to tell Nebuchadnezzar you don't like his food and you don't like his drink? That's fear pressure. Being afraid of the consequences if you do the right thing. Now, what right thing do you have the opportunity to do? And people are saying, oh, if you do that, you're going to lose your job. Oh, if you do that, you're going to disrupt your marriage. Oh, if you do that, you're going to lose your friends. Oh, if you do that, it's going to cost you this or... And they're warning you, if you do the right thing, you're going to suffer these consequences. And they're saying the consequences are more important than doing the right thing. And that's fear pressure. You make the choice to put God first. You have to keep the commitment and overcome the peer pressure and the fear pressure and what I would describe as severe pressure. When the chief official just said, no, you can't have any other food and drink. In other words, the door is closed to doing the right thing. And I've had Christian women come up and tell me, Ann, I believe the Bible. I really do. It just doesn't work in my situation. It just doesn't work in my life. It's just not relevant in this particular case. And Daniel, if I were him, I would have said, well, God, I tried. You know, I really did want to put you first. And I made the choice not to defile myself, and I've tried to keep the commitment, but God, you know I've got to eat and drink. And so, you know I tried, and I guess I just will have to go along with what they've put on the table. But Daniel, I'm convinced Daniel would have starved himself to death before he would have broken his commitment because he'd made the choice. And it's not really a choice if you don't keep the commitment, overcoming the pressure to break the commitment. What pressure have you been subjected to break your commitment to put God first in your life? To live your life to please God? And you're pressured by the opinions of other people and what everybody else is doing and the consequences if you do the right thing? And what pressure have you succumbed to? Would you remake the choice all over again to put God first in your life and to live your life to please Him? Keeping the commitment, overcoming the pressure, no matter what type it is, peer pressure, fear pressure, severe pressure, you may think of many other kinds of pressure, you just keep your commitment.
This is Living in the Light, and today's message from the first chapter of Daniel titled, Character Counts, with Bible teacher Ann Graham Lotz. And in her message today, the reminder, difficult as it may be at times, is to not allow peer pressure or any other kind of pressure to keep us from doing the right thing. Here's Anne with closing thoughts on today's message.
Are you secretly afraid if you put God first in your life, if you live to please Him, that you will somehow have less than what you want, that you'll lose out in the long run? That's one reason Daniel's example is so powerful. Because despite his circumstances, his faithfulness to God distinguished him from those around him. He stood out with exceptional distinction among the many other exiles captured from Judah. He ended up with much more than he could have ever dreamed of getting for himself or through compromise. Simply put, Daniel was remarkable. Listen to me. The key to Daniel's remarkable attitude and life commitment is this. He viewed his circumstances through the lens of God's love and sovereign purpose. God had called him not to a life of comfort and ease, but to a life of greatness. He knew that all things had worked together for his good to enable him to fulfill God's purpose. As a result, Daniel did indeed live a life of greatness. Make no mistake about it, God's plan for you is much greater and broader, more lasting and impactful than any plan you could come up with for yourself. Don't settle for less than everything God has for you.
Be sure to take advantage of all that's available for you at anngrahamlotz.org. From Anne's blog, her messages, Bible studies, books, and videos, all will give you a deeper, richer relationship with Jesus through God's Word. And thanks for joining us today for Living in the Light.